Well, good morning. I too want to welcome you here in Jesus' name. I've been praying that God would share what the message that He wants shared today. And it's His Word. It's God's Word, and God can sanctify His Word in our hearts, and He can send a can provide a message for us. If you would turn in your Bibles here to Luke chapter 8, verse 40. And I have three different, one's a group of people, and then there's two individuals that I'd like to look at this morning here. It'll be Luke verse 40 through 9 verse, I think it's 9 verse 6. And this encompasses a need in my life, or maybe circumstances in my life, maybe we could say. And there's two phrases that stood out. I wasn't sure which one to use for a title, and I'm not sure if I'm thinking I might use both of them, but it's going to make a long title. I'm not good at coming up with titles, but I thought I would do this. But one is a phrase that man said, and one is a phrase that Jesus said. Man said, "Trouble not the master. Don't bother him." Jesus said, "Fear not. Believe only." And those are two conflicts in my life that I can identify with the thought of not bothering other people. Not bothering. Don't bother with the little things. Don't bother with, don't worry, don't trouble the master. But Jesus says, "Fear not, believe only." All right, let's read here in verse 40 of Luke. It came to pass that when Jesus was returned, now where did he return from? He was over across the lake, and he had just healed the man with all the demons. Remember that? So the man that was the wild man, he had just healed him, and that man was supposed to stay over there and minister or tell the people about Jesus. But Jesus came back, and the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him. That means he pleaded with him, he begged him that he would come into his house. Now, why was Jairus so desperate to see Jesus in front of all the people, all this crowd of people that were there? The reason was that he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. That's the first man, the first individual. The second individual is in 43. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Going back to Jairus, while he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. It's over with. Don't bother him. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in except Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, Maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished. But he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Luke 9, verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, Take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece, and whatsoever house you enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when ye go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. You know, I was looking at this morning. And I hadn't even looked at the Sunday school lesson before this, and so it was very interesting. The Sunday school lessons focus on obedience and disobedience. And in this passage here, the thing that is one common thread through all three groups of people here is faith. Now, two of the individuals had faith that was born from desperation. One of the individuals was given a task that they could not do on their own. They were given almost an impossible mission, but they were to go in faith. One question I'd like to ask us today, have you ever felt like you were given an impossible mission? Something impossible to do that maybe you were left, maybe you were left in charge of your siblings at home and they don't listen to you. You ever feel like that's an impossible mission? Maybe you have something else that is given to you to do, then you think it's an impossible mission. I don't know. That's a question. And other times we are in circumstances where we are desperate. Let's look at Jairus here. Jairus was a ruler of the synagogue. Now the ruler of the synagogue was probably a combination of a pastor, janitor, custodian. I'm not sure what all he did. But his job was to be in charge of the synagogue, the building. He was also in charge of the worship, keeping the service going. He was the one that would select the teachers that would read from the law, and he would pick the the people that took part in the service. That was his job, and he was chosen from among the people there. They would choose him to be that. But Jairus was a ruler of the synagogue here in this town, and he had one daughter. One daughter, and he loved his daughter, and she was not doing well. And I can imagine him and his wife, they watched and they watched and they watched, and she just declined and declined, and she got very low. And he heard about Jesus, and in desperation, he just runs out of the house, just runs down the road to find Jesus. He has to find Jesus. And where's Jesus at? Well, Jesus has gone across the water. Oh my. And then here, well, he's coming back. There's his boat over here. And Jesus comes back, and there's the people, and they're glad to see him again. They're waiting on him. Well, Jairus is at the front of the line, and he is desperate. He runs up there, and he falls down before Jesus, and he beseeches him. I mean, he's desperate. Can you feel the desperation that you would feel if your daughter was at home and this is the last hope that you have for her to be healed? And Jesus, please, hurry. But the people are there, and Jesus is not hurrying. He just walks and bumps into people, and people bump into him. Jesus doesn't bump into him, but they bump into him, and he just can't move. And people are wanting to, I don't know if they get, they want to talk to him and tell him about this and tell him about that. I don't know. Jairus, if he was like me, he would be, there'd be something inside of him that was heating up, and he just wants to push everybody out of the way. But Jairus had a measure of faith, and but I think he was also desperate for Jesus to hurry. And so Jesus was making his way that way. They were going there. But on the way, it says the crowd thronged him. The people thronged him. That just means they were just got in his way. What do I do when I want Jesus, when I am in a situation I want them to hurry? We have a bill to pay, or we have someone is sick. Do you ever feel like Jesus is being thronged by other things, or just not getting there? Jairus was his faith was being stretched. It was started as a hope, but his faith was being stretched. And then along comes, or there's this woman in the crowd. She's not a ruler of the synagogue. She is not an important person necessarily. It doesn't say what she is. She was just there, shy, self-conscious, but she had faith. She had faith. And she wanted to touch the hem. She said, if I can just get past all these people here. I don't know how long it took for her to do that. But if I can just get past these people. Her bank account was dry. She had medical bills piled up. There was no more funds left to go to any more doctors. She was all the way down to the scrape. She was scraping the bottom of the emotional barrel. She was scraping the bottom of. This was her last hope. She had spent all her money on physicians for 12 years. and she just wanted to touch the hem of his garment. The hem of his garment were the little tassels that God had commanded the Israelite men to wear. And Jesus did that. You know, the Bible says, well, Jesus was obedient as well. And the and in Numbers 15, verses 37 through 41, God gives instructions on these tassels here. And I'll read that here soon, but the lady, this lady was not, she had the desperation inside like Jairus did, but she was not public about it. She had faith in her heart, and she eased forward through the crowd till she was almost there. And then she just brushed the hem of his garment and was healed. You know, her faith was strengthened in that moment when she was healed. Her faith was strengthened. And yet Jesus wanted her to make a public confession of the exercise of her faith. I think Jesus knew exactly who touched him. With him being God, he knew exactly who touched him. He knew exactly who it was that did. But he said, "Who touched me?" And Peter said, That's obvious, Jesus. Everybody's touching you. Everybody's touching you." "No," Jesus said, "somebody touched me for a reason. I felt virtue going out of me. I felt power going out of me." And this shy woman, the self-conscious woman, publicly said what miracle had happened to her. I wonder if Jesus did that for Jairus' sake. Have you ever wondered about that? If Jesus did that for Jairus' sake, Jairus is sitting here just willing Jesus to hurry up. And sometimes God uses other people's circumstances to be a blessing or an example for us. But faith, in Hebrews, I believe it's in Hebrews 6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him," please God. "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is," first of all, "believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We first have to believe that he is. That's the first part of conversion, believing that he is. In Sunday school, we talked a little bit about, you know, as a child, when we disobey, especially when a young child disobeys, there's guilt there. And then there's punishment, and that the pain of that punishment takes away that guilt. Well, as an adult, we have guilt as well. But it takes faith to believe that God is. It also takes faith to believe that guilt can be removed. It takes faith for that. But that's not the end of the story. It also takes obedience then to live out that faith. It takes obedience. It also takes love, like we talked about this morning as well. But we believe, we love, we obey. Now, Jesus loved his Father. Jesus was obedient In Numbers 15, I'm going to read 37 through 41. This was the commandment that God gave to Moses. Jesus was obedient to this commandment years and years and years later. Jesus did not give himself a special pass because he was God, but he was obedient. But this is the commandment. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a riband of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them. So the fringe was just, was not, it wasn't that the fringe was such a wonderful thing. It had to be, it wasn't that the fringe itself was so good, but it was what it symbolized. It was a memory to trigger, to trigger action on their part. Remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you used to go a-whoring, that ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. And Jesus had that. That was a symbol that Jesus was obedient. That was a symbol that Jesus wore, and Jesus was genuine. There was no hypocrisy in him. And this lady that saw this, she wanted to touch the hem of his garment. So in a sense, we could say that the obedience of Jesus was helpful for the faith of the lady that came to him. And that's another thought, that we, our obedience in our life can be a help to those around us to strengthen others' faith. I have been blessed personally by the obedience and the godly example of other people that have gone before me. And I'm sure you have been blessed the same way. God can use you to be an influence to strengthen others' faith as well. And it's a way of keeping the faith. Jesus did that. He had those tassels there. But as they came, the lady was healed. She made that public confession. Statement there, and that statement, we could say, could be, if Jairus was in a frame of mind to hear, could have been an encouragement to him. But as they got to Jairus' house, they got close to it, there was, one of his servants came, and he said, your daughter is dead. It's too late. Don't worry. Don't trouble him anymore. It's not worth bringing him in here. He's a busy man. Don't bother it anymore. She's dead. It's over with. What would you have thought if you could have said, well, if you would have just hurried more, Jesus, if you would have just push the people out of the way, just forgot about them for a while, and just came over here. I had a problem. It doesn't say what all Jairus thought. It just said that Jesus heard the servant tell him that. And he said, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. I don't know what would go through your mind if somebody told you that. Your daughter's dead. Fear not, believe only, she shall be made whole. I don't know if Jairus believed or not. It doesn't really say. It just says that when Jesus said that she told the crowd that she's only not to cry, She's only sleeping. They laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out. I don't know if he put out Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother, or if he put just the people that were there. I don't know. But he put all the people that were laughing him to scorn, put them out. Their unbelief was not helpful to the situation. But the faith is not always as strong as we want it to be. At least my faith isn't. Sometimes my faith is very, very weak. Sometimes it's so weak I don't even know if it's there. But God wants us to not give up. God knew Jairus' heart. He knew Jairus had that faith as a grain of mustard seed. He had enough faith to leave his house and come meet him on the shore of by the seashore. And Jairus' faith maybe was very weak after his daughter died. And Jesus was too slow to get there. In his mind, he was too slow to get there. But Jesus knew his heart, and he healed, or the daughter came back. It says her parents were astonished. They were astonished. Did this mean they didn't believe? Not necessarily. But that's how it is for us sometimes. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know your situation, but maybe it's a situation that we dread. Whether it's maybe it's a lawsuit that we're facing. Somebody is very upset, and we have something that's just weighing on us. We're not sure which way it'll go. It's weighing on us. And it looks hopeless. And we want to believe that God has things in control. We want to believe. And yet we really, your heart wants to believe, but your mind runs ahead and tries to analyze all the scenarios. I don't know if you've ever been there, but I've been there. Your mind wants to run ahead and analyze all the scenarios, but you want to believe, but your faith is weak. And yet, as things progress, you pray, and it seems like God works things out. And when they work out, I'm astonished. I know the feeling. I'm astonished. I don't understand the mind of God, but he wants us to believe with that grain of mustard seed. And it's not always going to feel like we have a lot of faith. But if we believe with the grain of mustard seed and we act in obedience what we know, God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently seeking God involves doing things sometimes that we don't really feel like doing. Diligently seeking God involves some self-discipline sometimes, some pain. Diligently seeking God involves walking with the crowd when Jesus is bumping into other people. But he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Going on into the third group, which were his 12 disciples, and right after this, he called them together, and he gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. All right, what would you do if you were sent on a mission trip, a real mission trip? Now, this would not be involving any fundraisers, because you would have no money to take with you. Lamar, maybe you should send the youth group on a mission trip this way. But there was, he said, you have power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases, and you are to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. All right? So you young men right here on the second and third bench, that's your job here. You're supposed to go heal the sick in Gainesville tomorrow. And you are to preach the gospel of the kingdom and to cast out devils and cure diseases. Oh, by the way, you can't drive. You can't drive. You can't take extra clothes. You have to leave your wallet at home. You have to leave your cell phone at home. You have to leave your ID at home. You have to leave... you can't take your Bible with you. And you just walk. You can't take a walking stick. You can't take a script. You can't take money. And... no food either. You can't take any food and only one set of clothes, just the clothes on your back. And then you go. Now, would that take faith to do that? Absolutely, it would take faith. But that's what Jesus did. He sent them out with those requirements, restrictions, requirements, stipulations. What would have happened if they said, we can't leave without our cell phone? We can't go without our wallet. We can't go without a vehicle. We can't go. We got to have these things. Well, first of all, I don't know which one first. It took faith to believe, and it took obedience to do. It took both of them to make it happen. But it worked. It worked. When they got to the city, they were to, whoever invited them into their house, they would go into that house, and they would stay there. They would do the work in that area and stay at one place. And when they left, then they would go to a different place. But they stayed in one spot, and they weren't allowed to. If the first spot had rats in the bed, they weren't allowed to look for a better one. They stayed in one place. But whosoever would not receive them, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And verse 6 says, they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. That means they were obedient to their instructions, exactly. And they were healing everywhere. They healed. They had the power to cast out devils. They had the power to heal the sick, just like Jesus did. They had the power to minister God's gospel, God's good news, and his work to all these people because of their faith and their obedience. You You know, actually, Jesus gives us the same instructions today. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Do we have a lack of faith and a lack of obedience in that? But faith and obedience go hand in hand. Jesus' obedience to the law and his obedience to that commandment of remembering, of wearing the fringes on his garments for a reminder to remember all the commandments of the Lord, to do all the commandments of the Lord, to seek not after his own heart and his own eyes, and to be holy unto God. Jesus did that. He was obedient. And he commanded his disciples to do their trip. And they were obedient. And results happened from that. Results happened from that. Faith, obedience, love, and I put trust down too, but trust could be faith in an ongoing way. You have initial faith, and you also have continuing faith. But for us today, 1 Peter 5, verse 6, it says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Faith is belief, but it also requires action. That action is then obedience. So, in the situations that you find yourself in, be someone who comes to God in faith. And be someone who diligently seeks, believing that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek. My life has been one that I've experienced. I'm not very perfect at all, but there's been a few times where I've had some faith strengthening experiences. And maybe some of this, faith strengthening experiences are astonishing. We'll say it that way. They're very astonishing. But I remember one morning, or one evening, I was working, and there was a man who, this is just a small thing probably, but he called, and he was upset about something. He told me he's very angry with me, and he's going to come over tomorrow morning, first thing, and talk to me about it. And then he hung up the phone. So I got to stew over this all night long, and I should have been more faith. I had more faith there, but I stewed over this, and I had so many imaginations about what's going to happen tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. Well, he came over, and somewhere in the middle of the night, I didn't sleep much at all that night, but somewhere in the middle of the night, I just gave it to God, and I said, "Well, whatever happens will happen. It can't be too terrible. So whatever happens will happen." And I gave it to God. I didn't know what was going to happen. But yeah, the next morning he came over there and he apologized for saying what he said. And he said he wasn't angry anymore and everything was good. So anyway, I spent a whole night doing nothing. But I was pretty young, and it was one of those situations that seemed a little bit bigger than it should have seemed. But God worked that out. And there's other things in life that have happened too, probably larger things. that God has worked out, even though it didn't look like it was going to be, it looked like it would be a pretty terrible outcome. God works things out. But are we willing to give him our life? Are we willing to believe him, to seek him, and to be astonished when he works things out? Let's stand for prayer. Our Father, we come to you this morning. I thank you for the way that you do take an interest in our life. You encourage us to fear not, but believe, even though our tendency is to not trouble you. Lord, whatever journey that we are on, whatever stage in our journey where we find ourselves, would you be near to us? Would you increase our faith, Lord, and increase our desire to serve you? Lord, we want to serve you with our whole, to love you with our whole heart, and to serve you, and to follow you, and in faith to share your good news. But sometimes we are weak, sometimes we are distracted, sometimes we are not faithful in the things that we should be faithful in. And we ask your forgiveness for that. Would you guide us and direct us this week in the way that you want us to go? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.